You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking at the action from Hamilton and Stratford. We've also got racing at Brighton, Chepstow and Goram Park. On Tuesday, you can join myself, Sam Norris, in the studio with Andrew Mount and Paddy Aspel from 1:50pm on Tuesday afternoon. But joining me to look at the Monday jury and reflect on the best of the weekend's action as well as four contests on Tuesday is former jockey James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, not bad, sorry.
Yeah, good. Enjoy the weekend's racing.
Yeah, it's a good racing this weekend. Nothing on the plate was a good spectacle, even though it was on the top 10, no longer on the turf. And no, good weekend's racing.
I noticed the Racing Post starting a week-long series on how better to engage more people to the sport of racing. You think they're fighting a losing battle, James?
It's tricky. I think whenever I raise this point to my old man, he always says it's an older person's sport as such, and it's probably is because you do generally need a lot of time in your hands to follow the sport. Obviously, most of it is midweek racing. Those that have got jobs from 9 till 6, it's hard to try and keep up to with what's going on. And owning race horses, you need to have a lot of spare cash to have a horse. A horse costs about £20,000 a year just to keep in training. A lot of people don't really earn that kind of money. So there's a very small number of people that could even own race horses as such. And I'll say it is tricky. I think a lot of sports are struggling in that article. The average age was rising quite immensely in all kinds of sports, not just horse racing. I do know from my own going back into the real world as such and going back to university and that, young people have no idea what goes on in horse racing as a whole.
By the national, perhaps.
No, national. Derby wouldn't even register on their radar. Ryan Moore, they wouldn't have a clue who he was. They'd probably know who Tony McCoy was because of the recent sports personality, etc. But he was our 20-time champion jockey.
Yes.
The biggest name we've had in the sport for a while. And they could probably know who he is, but they wouldn't recognise him in the street, I wouldn't think. It is a struggle because you haven't really got those big names that transfer from the sport into the wider world. I'm not too sure how we can change it, though. It's not easy.
Yes, indeed. Very, very difficult. And I suppose that's a problem for a lot of people. They can pinpoint the problems, but finding the solution is a different matter entirely. We can all say what's wrong.
Yep.
But actually, pinpointing something tangible to change things is obviously the biggest difficulty that everyone faces.
Indeed, we've got 5.9 million people went horse racing in 2016, which is an absolutely cracking number. I know lots of people that have gone racing, they probably won't even see a race when they actually go to a track. They go there for a social day out. They might have a few bets, but they're picking a random colour on a random horse's name. They're not really that bothered by the sport as such. And generally, it takes quite a while to actually get into the sport because there's so much information around available, etc. I think the best way to get people in the sport is if they have their first bet and it wins. They generally get kind of hooked on that. If they go racing for the first time and they don't back a winner and they lose £20, they're probably like, not really too fussed about going here again. So it's quite tricky.
And it's impossible to control that.
Exactly. Unless you've got grandparents or parents that are very into racing that take you there from a young age and get you indoctrinated into it, it's not the easiest sport to get into. That's probably the struggle, I suppose.
I noticed in that article there was a little bit about the simplification, perhaps, of other sports, or certainly trying to make them a little bit more dynamic. 2020 was mentioned in cricket, and there is a perception that horse racing, to people who don't know a lot about the sport, that it's very hard to understand, that it's very nuanced and very tricky, which it is.
Yep.
Is there any room to try and make not a simplified version
that's,
of it?
That's the problem, because sometimes the beauty of horse racing is that you never ever stop learning. There's so many different things to go through. The horses, the sires, the ground, the distance, the weight, the rating.
Could go on forever,
but if you open a race card and you've never been racing before, all these little numbers and figures, even 390, say it's a three-year-old and it's carrying 9 stone, and someone's going to look at that and go, well, what does that mean?
Yes.
And I think some tracks, when you go there, they make good effort, actually, to explain stuff to people who've never been racing before. And ITV, we do whinge about Matt Chapman, but on the figures and on the betting prices, he's saying if it's 2-1, if you put £1 on, you're going to make £2 profit.
Yes.
You're going to get three back, and like stuff like that. That's just a way to simplify it and let people understand. Because like I say, even if you've been in racing, you've a lot of bets, you're going to know that. But if your first time, simple fractions, people don't like maths, and they look at it, they just don't want to even comprehend what it could mean. But like I say, stuff like that, you're trying to explain. But the beauty and the negative of the sport is it is so complex that once you get into it, I think you enjoy it even more. Perhaps.
Yes, and you don't want to take away from those
exactly
complexities that make it the sport that it is.
No, it is very, very tricky. But like I say, they're trying. But I don't really, I haven't got a simple answer, which is going to say
no,
racing's going to suddenly become in the public consciousness. Mm. We need another Frankel as such. I think the jump horse is a little bit easier because the
just
stars are around
longer,
for a while. But Cheltenham, it comes alive at that one week of the year, but then again, rest of the season, it's not really mentioned that much, so it is tricky.
Yeah, definitely. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out in the post throughout the course of the week. Obviously, a double page spread on it today from Lee Mottershead, and hopefully there'll be some interesting angles throughout the course of the week on that theme, which is going to run week long, I think, in the post.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and like I say, they are trying to do things, but as regards ownership, that's going to be very tricky to do, because people don't have much disposable income. That is the issue. Staff, for me, is a massive issue for the sport, for the future,
definitely.
Keeping young people into the sport, especially those working with the horses, probably betting shop staff as well, etc. The hours that people work, need to try and keep those people in and get those interested and try and get their friends, etc., interested in the sport. But it's tricky times, I'd say, at the moment.
On to the Monday jury then. Let's recap some of the weekend's action and deal with the big questions being posed regarding matters on the track. And we start with question one, which is about the Irish Derby this weekend. In light of the Irish Derby, how do you rate this year's classic generation of colts? They finished in a bit of a heap at the Curragh on Saturday.
Better than last year, still pretty rubbish. Would be
fair
my
play.
Analysis. Just the fact that we've not got one that's outstanding. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien does dominate the middle distance division, and he runs five. No one really knows which one's going to win, do they?
Well, he doesn't, and Ryan Moore doesn't. Which I think
twice
indicates
that they've got it wrong as such, but they've been saved by one of the outsiders. Such a shame that the Wings of Eagles got injured.
Yeah.
We can't quantify how that affected his performance, because he usually ran a cracker to finish third despite the injury. How much that affected him, because it only came to light the next day, hopefully, or it probably didn't that much. We're not going to see for the future how good he was. But the trouble is for him, for the standing prospect, he was beat far too many times earlier on in his career, really, to be a true champion. Capri is very, very tough, but he's not a superstar. He's been beat far too many times. Chris of Maher, we'll see how he gets on in the Eclipse. But the middle distance ones, yeah, they're okay. I definitely think they're better than last year's. Last year's were...
You thought it was a terrible derby
awful,
last year, didn't you?
Horrendous derby last year. And those three-year-olds, they've not really been seen this year, have they? If Mining had run in that, she would have absolutely bolted up in the derby. Mile-wise, I think we've got a stronger generation with the milers. Churchill and Barney Rowe, I think they're two decent individuals, and they're certainly going to be competitive against the older horses. But
and the sprinting division is
very,
alive
very
and
strong.
Well, for three-year-olds.
I'd say the sprinting one is probably the strongest. Harry Angel, Caravaggio is probably my favourite horse in training at the moment. That is strong. It's just the middle distance generation. It's a little bit, there's too much of a by-door domination, really, a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I know Wilder Geese didn't exactly boost the form at the weekend, but do you think the French three-year-olds are a little bit better? The likes of Bramato, who obviously won the Derby and the Guineas over
in
France.
Luke was saying that. He felt the French three-year-olds are much stronger than those over in Britain. Possibly. We haven't really tested it too much, and I say he did disappoint, didn't he? So I thought he would win.
Yes, yeah.
I thought he'd win the
Irish
Derby.
He was a big disappointment, Wilder Geese.
Just because I think they're all pretty average.
Much for muchness,
so,
yeah.
It's hard to know, but I'll say generally... The middle distance ones are no superstar, put it that way.
Elsewhere at the Curragh then on Saturday, Gordon Elliott saddled the winner of the Railway Stakes. Where do you rank the winner of the Railway Stakes, Beckford, among the two-year-olds this season?
Good. I think he's a decent type. He was very, very impressive. To Coventry was a bit of a bunch finish. We got a horse, Roger Singh, it's from a yard which isn't that fashionable, Richard Spencer. and the fact that they didn't really pull away to suggest that the Coventry hasn't got a Caravaggio this year. But obviously, we'll see Rajah Singh next time out and see if he can go on again from the Coventry. But at the moment, it would be one of the weaker Coventries we've seen, and Beckford won very, very nicely the other day. So I was impressed with that. Gordon Elliott, first kind of
significant flat winner, yeah.
Runner, did it very, very well, and he's 2 from 2. So I'd say he stands out as one of the very best two-year-olds at the moment.
Indeed. Was it right to keep racing at the Curragh through the renovation period is the next question. Obviously, both Noel Mead and Joseph O'Brien have had their say on this, and two contrasting opinions. The capacity at the Curragh capped at 6,000. They didn't even get near that on Irish Derby Day, which is one of the, if not the premier meeting of the year at the Curragh.
I've never been to the Curragh, and obviously I'm not based in Ireland.
Mm.
But it's an absolutely crazy decision because when we had Royal Ascot got redeveloped,
moved to York
nearly 10 years ago. Moved to York. That was a real good success. Something different. People had a different experience, and you don't really want to be going to race when it's a building site. I think it was better at the weekend than what it was. I think the previous meeting they had there, where it was absolutely horrendous. But for me, 1 year to move it to Leopardstown or wherever they were going to move it to, it would not have been a problem. In France, they've done the same. Longchamp being shut into Chanty, and I said I think it's crazy to be honest, because those that have gone haven't had a great experience, and they put off a lot of people from going. So for the premier race day, which normally attracts about 15,000 people, to get a third of that is very, very disappointing.
Yeah, as we were talking about earlier, it's not going to encourage people to come back if their first experience of racing is one like that. As you say, you don't want to go somewhere that looks half done.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it's going to be absolutely brilliant once it's done, but for 1 year, it would have been best to transfer the fixtures for me.
Do you think they will for Irish Champions Weekend?
There's a lot of pressure, but there's a lot of very contrasting opinions.
Mm.
And the perhaps more powerful opinions seem to want it to stay. So they might.
They're
might
the ones
win.
That count, aren't they?
Exactly.
Indeed. This side of the Irish Sea, then, it was a cracking day at Newcastle, of course. Higher Power winning the Northumberland Plate. What kind of impact can James Fanshawe's charge have at group level,
well,
if
he was
any?
Second to Big Orange, wasn't he, the time before?
Which, looking back on it now, was the standout piece of form in that
exactly.
race.
Sergeant Cecil won the Northumberland Plate many, many years ago. He went on to be a very, very solid group performer, won the Cadran Group 1 race for my dad, so it can certainly be done. And it was a competitive plate. He battled back very, very gamely, and he's a decent individual. Good trainer as well. James Fanshawe, I'm sure he'd get the best out of him. So, he'll certainly pay his way at group level.
Give us a horse to follow for the second half of the season is the next one.
Yeah, and I saw an impressive Aidan O'Brien winner at the Curragh yesterday. Gustav Klimt won on second start.
He beat a really good yard stick in Would Be King, yeah.
Even you were watching. Were you working yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I was working.
You were working.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was a really, really impressive performance because he did that very nicely. There were rumours afterwards that he could have headed for the Chesham, and obviously he didn't. But no, one of the Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds that could start, bearing in mind he didn't have anything super special in the Coventry, that would be the one for me.
Okay, Gustav Klimt, perhaps one to follow for the back end of the season then for the Aidan O'Brien team. And finally, who do you fancy for the Coral Eclipse? Betting suspended at the time of recording, but Cliffs of Moher, Barney Roy, Eminent, who is now going to be the mount of Sylvester De Souza in the race, looks a good renewal of the Coral Eclipse, I fancy, James.
It does, especially amongst the three-year-olds, because not that many top-class Group 1 older horses look like they're going to be taking part. And I think it could be a trio of Cliffs and Moher, Eminently ran the Derby, Barney Roy stepping up in trip. Barney Roy, so he's stepping up in trip. It could be an absolutely cracking race for the three-year-olds. And I'm not sure which one I fancy. I've always liked Eminent for both the 2000 Guineas and the Derby.
And me,
haven't quite worked out. I think if he was from a bigger yard, he'd perhaps be slightly shorter.
Do you think SDS getting the leg up now instead of Jim Crowley is going to make any sort of difference?
Both good jockeys, both obviously champion jockeys.
Mm.
No negligible difference, I think, between the two. I think Marna Quarter might just be his best trip, perhaps. More conventional track as well at Sandown. Be very, very interesting. But I'll probably just one more time go for Eminent. But a fascinating race and prospect.
Yeah, definitely so. Eminent, then, the choice for James in the Eclipse coming up at Sandown then this weekend. Third in the betting behind Cliffs of Moher and Barney Roy. On to some of the racing closer at hand then, and namely Tuesday's action. We've got two races from Hamilton on the flat and two races over the obstacles at Stratford to take a look at. We begin north of the border at Hamilton with the 330, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile. 13 runners down to take their chance in this, and one or two horses in here, James, running up a bit of a sequence of late.
Well, it's a really competitive race, isn't it? £30,000 on offer, and Hamilton being roared of a really, really strong field with a couple seven raiders. Obviously, top weight Highland Glory, generally seen in the big handicaps down south. He's very, very consistent. It's slightly easier than what he's been running in recently, and I think he could be very, very hard to beat for Andrew Boulding and Liam Kinnaery. But he's against a few that are running very, very well. Goal for Poets, four runs, four wins this year for Mick Easterby. Keeps on improving. Got a win at the track as well. He's dangerous, but it's a slightly stronger contest than what he's been running in recently. Similar comments apply to Nicholas T. He's won three of his last five on a hat-trick bid as well today. And he's another one that's got obvious claims. I just think the seven raider, slightly classier individual in Highland Glory, could be the one. So I think he's the one to beat in what's a very, very competitive contest at Hamilton tomorrow.
Certainly is. Highland Glory gets the vote for Jameson for Andrew Boulding in that mile handicap at Hamilton. We stay at Hamilton, then 1 hour later we've got a sprint handicap coming up over six furlongs. The Class 4 event this time around. 10 runners to go out this time. Who's on your mind for this one, James?
Yeah, again, really good prize money on offer at Hamilton tomorrow. Not quite as strong a field for this one, though. Not as competitive, for sure. Sharp defence is interesting for John Patrick Shanahan. Has a lot of winners at Hamilton.
A lot in these colours as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a private trainer for them. They all come over. And that one is definitely interesting. Sharp defence. I'll say the race isn't that competitive. And he's drawn nine. One off the stands rail, which has been a massive advantage at Hamilton this year. So I think Sharp defence could be the one to pick up the pieces. And that of the others, got to keep an eye on the Lexington Times, who's consistent enough for Ruth Carr, but still two could be a slight issue for him. And Manfallet for David Brown, another one to travel a fair way up to Scotland. He's interesting, dropping in grade as well. He could be dangerous, but I'm going to stick with Sharp defence, and Tag O'Shea could get him home.
Sharp defence then for JP Shanahan, and Tag O'Shea gets the nod at Hamilton in that 4:30. Bit of jumps action then coming up on Tuesday evening at Stratford, and we begin with the 7:20, which is a handicap chase over 2 miles and three furlongs. Just six runners down to contest this one, but not a bad field, I thought, James.
Competitive, isn't it? Altipex is one for me. Kerry Lee's runner, one of the youngest in the field, 7-year-old. Progressive, got a course win to his name and won nicely two starts back. Not disgraced when third last time. This looks to be a winnable contest for Altipex. Main danger, probably Macabre Creek for Caroline Bailey. It was a good second last time out. He's one handicap on old form. Harry Skelton riding plenty of winners for his brother Dan. This one takes the mount for Caroline Bailey, and he's probably the main danger. But I think Altipex could be very, very hard to beat.
Altipex then the choice for James. Caroline Bailey seems to be the only other yard that use Harry Skelton.
Yeah, he doesn't
get
many outside rides. Yeah. But like I say, she is one that uses his services, and obviously his confidence is sky high at the moment.
Altipex, the selection in that 7:20 race at Stratford. Final one on today's podcast then, the 8:20 at Stratford. A handicap chase over 2 miles six this time. Seven runners down to contest this one. An interesting blend of runners here as well. Obviously the fact that Paul Nichols, former champion trainer, runs one here will catch the eye of many, James.
Yep, definitely. And Bracador, probably been a little bit disappointing for the Nichols team. Only second last time when a beaten favourite, which is a relatively easy task. He's against one from a much smaller yard, but well done to Morris Barnes. Four wins in a row with no such number. I think he's gone from 77 to 114. So that's a fair rise up their weight. So at some point it's going to stop, but confidence sky high. He's in good form at the moment, so he's definitely going to be dangerous. But the Nichols runner might just take advantage of the dropping grades. I think Bracador is the one to beat in this contest. He's only 6 years old. He's unexposed and improving. Always Archie, consistent this year. 2 seconds so far during the summer. He's going to be dangerous, but does have top weight. And of the others, Ethelwyn will be dangerous as well, with trained by Malcolm Jefferson, ridden by Brian Hughes, and gets plenty of weight from rivals. But I'm going to stick with the Nichols runner. Bracador is the one for me.
Bracador for James in that 8:20 race at Stratford. Just give us a quick recap, if you would then, please, of your four selections from both Hamilton and Stratford on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the English Raider in the 3:30 at Hamilton. Highland Glory for Andrew Boulding takes a dropping grade, and he's going to be very, very dangerous in the 3:30. 4:30, the Irish runner, Sharp Defence, the only three-year-old in the field, got a nice draw in stall nine. I think it's got an excellent chance for Tag O'Shea. Stratford, 7:20. Altipex is the one for me for Kerry Lee. Won nicely two starts back and remains in good form. And finally, 8:20, Bracador is the one for me. Trained by Paul Nichols, a six-year-old, can go one better than his second last time out.
Thank you very much, James. Pleasure as always, and enjoy the racing on Tuesday.
No problem.
There we are. Thoughts of James Milman there on Tuesday's Racing Podcast. And remember to tune into Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with myself, Sam Norris, joined by Andrew Mount and Paddy Aspel on Tuesday afternoon for Hamilton, Brighton, Chepstow, Stratford and Goram Park. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.